Welcome to the Divided Kingdom radio program. This is Lou Caverly.
And Elizabeth Cuppet Caverly.
We're bringing you the Cutting Edge News and Views program. Many of you have come to know and trust since its beginnings in 2003. We can be heard on WWCR shortwave at a frequency of 4.840 Thursday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. It repeats on Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. on 7.490 and Monday afternoons at 4 p.m. on 9.350.
And Lou, we never want to fail to mention to our listeners to go to our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com. Tell others, because a lot of people still don't know the truth about the COVID shot bioweapon episodes that are really going to get into tonight. So tell people to go to DividedKingdomRadio.com. Pick up the story there, Lou.
That's right. Tonight, we're continuing our look at December demons.
Yes, and wherever we try to take our focus, listeners, on the news at large, something shocking, something unexpected, always returns us to the great Cobra mRNA devil COVID shot nightmare of world genocide underway.
Yes, Elizabeth. And to think how last program I quoted a book that told of World War II occupied people's love for it and reverence for the BBC's truth-telling. But I think in the intervening 70 years or so, something drastic has happened. You once told me you thought every institution in society had gone bad. Now the BBC came out to mock Stu Peters' groundbreaking, courageous expose of the COVID shot killing. The free movie called Died Suddenly. The BBC called Stu and his producers of the movie Carnival Barkers.
Oh, yes, and you know what that really gives the meaning to all of us, that there are loudmouths who are selling snake oil. I didn't mean that to be a pun, because there really are all those documentations from Dr. Brian Artis's work. And he said now he's found even more of those toxins than they thought before. So, anything that they can do, because this calling them carnival barkers, is that the truth? Or just the voice of evil trying to cover up the genocide by demeaning the real truth seekers? You know, one of our most dedicated listeners nailed it, with I think this latest statement in her letter. I need to change the closing lines of the national anthem to the land of the enslaved and the home of the reprobate. Dr. Jane Ruby advises people to not trust any vaccines at this time or any procedures such as blood transfusions, because the whole former medical establishment that honored the Hippocratic Oath is now under the forces of this worldwide evil medical big pharma police state, and its purpose being depopulation, the bioweapon shots. For decades, this has been planned. Lou, we've heard lately that there were beginnings of this in 1975.
Yes, that's exactly right. They go back a long time.
Weren't we shocked at that?
Oh, yes, yes.
When we like to think of the old America, Fort Detrick, I guess, was here. I don't know when it was founded, but there were lots of things going on. Plum Island, the future Lyme disease that afflicted me so terribly. All of these things. And, you know, all of these things. Tonight we're going to get into the mental aspects, the neurological aspects. When I say Lyme disease, I definitely was affected neurologically because I could look at a picture on a wall and it came forward to me. And then it backed up. And when I told our family doctor, he said, oh, yes, projecting. I think that's what he called it. So there was a name for this when the neurological aspects were acting in a distorted way. You know, my sight, my Just my knowledge of reality, you see, was being warped a little bit visually. And, of course, there was the neurological sensory aspect of this, just like these poor people who have had their cranial nerves damaged and can't taste and smell. We were talking to a close family member who just had COVID, not the shots, but the family member said that he can taste sweet things, but when he eats something like an Arby's sandwich, it tastes like sawdust. So things that are like meat and that have a little butter in them, things like that don't taste right. And, of course, this is one of the side effects of snake venom. We send you back to look at our essays under Breaking News at DividedKingdomRadio.com. Tell your other friends to read that if they want the truth. Now, back to what we're talking about with Dr. Jane Ruby telling us not to get any of these vaccines or to trust them because we don't know who all is involved. These institutions that I told you went bad, academia is part of that. An illustration of how academia cooperates with this elite plan to experiment on and even kill the elderly, the weak, the disabled, etc., was sent to us by Mary, a great and informed listener in the Northeast. Where else does this newspaper ad originate from? But, of course, it is highlighting Harvard University.
And at the very top, we have in big letters, seniors, as if to catch their attention, contribute to the understanding of aging and cognition. Are you healthy and vaccinated? And our listener who sent this to us added a few little words here. That's an oxymoron, she said. Healthy and vaccinated? Are you mentally active and over the age of 65? The Aging and Cognition Lab is looking for subjects, and the listener put those in quotation marks, subjects. The experiment, also in quotes from the listener, explores the effects of aging on cognition. Non-invasive and no medication involved. 2-hour time commitment. And once again, we have first session pays $45 plus travel expenses. And our listener says, paying humans to be experimented on. Back to the ad, it says, call so-and-so number. And she put Dr. Mengele's pupils, Department of Psychology, Harvard University. Where else?
Achtung!
That's right, Achtung.
She wrote that, too.
She did.
And you told me what it meant.
Well, I think it means in German, attention.
Like attention!
Like a military sergeant might say to his underlings.
Related to that schnell, that Dr. Mengele would call out as the people got off the trains, it meant to move fast.
That's right.
So we can divide you into the two lines, and the line that lives and the line that goes to the guests. Chambers.
That's true. One would think by now everyone knows the COVID clutch shots are a depopulation bioweapon.
But does everybody know? You know, we've talked about the lies and the blindness of the reprobate mind, especially the compromised souls of syndicated journalists. Why, just a week or so ago, columnist George F. Will was praising NWO puppet Zelensky as Ukraine's savior. Oh, and we're going to see Biden sending more of your tax money over there, all kinds of help to Ukraine. Oh, bravo. At the same time, he's supposedly setting up some kind of an anti-Semitism task force. We have all these little glossy, nice-sounding things that we're doing to cover the real horrors that this government is doing, continuing the horrors of the previous government. We also thought that columnist Susan Estrich might have started to come to her senses when she recently rightly compared the Democrats, calling the Republicans vermin, as being like the Nazis' epithet for the Jewish people during the Hitler years. And that was a good thing that she was drawing the attention here. She lamented this extreme hate, but now the retarded reprobate mind is pressing in on Estrich again. So we had a recent column. This was, I believe, November 18th. We've stopped worrying about COVID. I went to CVS and got a flu shot and a $5 coupon as part of the deal. No waiting. Oh, and it could even save your life still. So how come so few people want to get the latest COVID booster? I remember standing in line in East Los Angeles to get my first COVID vaccine. I felt like I'd won the lottery. I kept thanking people. I knew how lucky I was. Remember that feeling? Salvation, almost. What happened to it? Somewhere along the way, we've stopped worrying about COVID, which is its own kind of salvation, were it only so, but it's still there lurking, maybe. One casualty of the pandemic has been faith in public health officials, even the best of them. Who do you believe? They say we could be headed for a winter spike in COVID cases. Shouldn't we be concerned? Has denial set in, like the possibility of an earthquake we don't want to think about? Yesterday, I got a text message from my county health department urging me to get my free shot, complete with links to get an appointment. So easy compared to the days when my daughter literally snagged an appointment at a new site by following Twitter leads, something I could never have figured out. This time it was easy. I made the appointment myself next day. Then again, I haven't had a bad reaction to the earlier shots I got, so why would I shy away from another? Why indeed? In my limited survey, I've heard most of the excuses, which tend to revolve around, I don't need it because I've either had COVID or haven't had COVID, neither of which makes that much sense. If you haven't had COVID, you still could, and if you had, you could have it again. And here's the rub. It could be worse. Unvaccinated people may have picked up some immunity along the way or not. A friend of a friend is in town for her brother's funeral. Yes, he had a pre-existing condition, diabetes. So do lots of people. He went fast. 6 days in the hospital, only in his early 50s. It hit him hard. They put him on a respirator, and then he was gone. And this is Elizabeth interjecting. I think the columnist means not a respirator, but a ventilator. And then he was gone. It still happens. There's no line now. You don't have to keep refreshing the screen to find an appointment somewhere. It's as convenient as your local pharmacy. You can get a flu shot at the same time. Exactly why not? I don't believe in vaccines. Otherwise, intelligent people will tell me with a straight face, exactly what do you believe in, if not science? Are your children vaccinated? Of course. Science is irrefutable on this one. It's better, safer, life-saving even, to protect yourself against COVID and flu. People also die of flu. They die of hospital-acquired infections. They die of COVID. They do not die of flu shots or COVID boosters. Science is not a debate about which reasonable people can differ. I have a strong immune system, a few people say confidently, although the source of that confidence is mostly a mystery. You have a strong immune system until you don't. And by the time you figure that out, you might well be paying for your cockiness. I'll survive if I get it, the naysayers tell me. Why get another shot? Because while it's true that you probably will survive, you might be miserably sick or worse, struggle with the after effects of long COVID. You might infect someone who won't survive, as opposed to the sting of a shot. The shots aren't perfect. No, they're not perfect. They're nothing short of scientific miracles that we have come to take for granted, which makes us yet again the luckiest people on the face of the globe, that we can take ourselves, these miracles, for granted. But that doesn't mean we should. Be well.
Luckiest people in the face of the globe to get these COVID shots? Well, listeners, here's the saga of today's show, Al Roker. In January 2021, he got the COVID shot on air. It was reported everyone on site did a selfie afterward to celebrate their injections. In September 2022, Al got his COVID booster shot. By the end of September, he tested positive for COVID. Also by the end of September 2022, he was rushed to the hospital for blood clots. December 4th, the day after he got home, he was rushed back to the hospital for more blood clots. Dr. Jane Ruby comments that some people seem to do okay after the COVID shots till they get the booster. Also, after the COVID vaccine, blood clots appear to be resistant to anticoagulants like heparin. Now here's some more on Al Roker. The title, Al Roker Recovering After Being Hospitalized with Blood Clots in His Leg and Lungs. By Dave Quinn, People Magazine, November 18, 2022. Al Roker is on the mend after a health condition sent him to the hospital. The Today Show weather anchor, who has been absent from the NBC morning show for 2 weeks now, gave an update on his whereabouts Friday morning, revealing in an Instagram post that he's been receiving medical treatment for blood clots. He said, quote, "So many of you have been thoughtfully asking where I've been," wrote Roker, 68, captioning a photo of a bouquet of flowers. He went on to say, "Last week I was admitted to the hospital with a blood clot in my leg, which sent clots into my lungs." Roker concluded, "Thanks for all the well wishes and prayers, and hope to see you soon. Have a great weekend, everyone."
But by December 8th, things changed again. Al Roker returns home after second hospital stay, December 8th, 2022, source today, by Liz Calvario. Al Roker is home again. The Today weatherman shared on his Instagram on December 8th that he's back home from the hospital after spending several days under medical care. Al was first admitted to the hospital with blood clots last month. His health scare forced him to miss hosting the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade for the first time in 27 years. He was released from the hospital on November 24th, just in time to spend Thanksgiving with his family. "All right, this is my version of a Thanksgiving Day parade, getting ready to leave the hospital," he said in his Instagram video as he walked out of the building. "Time to blow this taco stand. Woo-hoo!" However, Al later returned to the hospital and subsequently also missed the lighting of the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree.
Part three of this ongoing saga. Al Roker makes visual, make that virtual Today Show return after, quote, tough hospitalizations, unquote. This is by Riley Cardoza, Page Six Podcast, December 12th, 2022. Al Roker made a virtual return to the Today Show Monday after back-to-back hospitalizations. "It's been a tough slog. I'm not going to deny this," the weatherman told his co-anchors. "It's been the hardest one yet. And you know I've had my share of surgeries." Roker noted that he had a, quote, "certain amount of weakness," unquote, after losing muscle mass in the hospital. He explained, "I'm doing physical therapy every day, occupational therapy. I've got to just get my strength back. I feel good. I feel strong. Every day I feel a little bit better. Last week I was admitted to the hospital with a blood clot in my legs, which sent some clots into my lungs," he wrote at the time. And he made, I should say, Roker, Roker made headlines in November after explaining his temporary absence on the NBC morning show to his Instagram followers. And this was his quote from that. "Last week I was admitted to the hospital with a blood clot on my leg, which sent some clots into my lungs. After some medical whack-a-mole, I am so fortunate to be getting terrific medical care and on the way to recovery." And I was listening to Sirius XM in my car, probably on Friday the 9th of December, when Fox News people, including Harris Faulkner, reported a shocking death. The Daily Beast then gave more details on December 12th. This was by Dan Ladenhall. The headline, "Second Journalist Dies While Covering Qatar World Cup." U.S. journalist Grant Wall, 48, was covering the Argentina versus Netherlands game on Friday when he is said to have collapsed in his seat at the Lusail Stadium. Witnesses said Wall was quickly treated by emergency service workers before he was rushed to hospital. The World Cup's organizing committee did not disclose his cause of death, but said it was in contact with the U.S. Embassy. On December 6th, Wall wrote on his Substack that he had been feeling unwell and had attended a medical clinic. Quote, "My body finally broke down on me," he wrote. "3 weeks of little sleep, high stress, and lots of work can do that to you." What had been a cold over the last 10 days turned into something more severe on the night of the USA-Netherlands game, and I could feel my upper chest take on a new level of pressure and discomfort, unquote. Medics advised him that he probably had bronchitis, an inflammation of airways in the lungs. Wall wrote, quote, "They gave me a course of antibiotics and some heavy-duty cough syrup, and I'm already feeling a little bit better just a few hours later. But still, no bueno." And sadly, he didn't make it. And then, the same article goes on to say, a reporter covering the FIFA World Cup died suddenly. And this is Luke commenting. That's used a couple of times in this article. And reminiscent of that movie we talked about by Stu Peters.
And reminiscent of how many? Aren't there about 1,000 world-class athletes who have dropped dead?
I have heard
after
that.
After the shots?
Yes, I've heard that very fact. And that was reported, his death, that is, by a Qatar newspaper report. The same day, a security guard was left in intensive care after falling at one of the tournament's stadiums. The Doha-based Gulf Times announced Saturday that Al Qas TV photojournalist Khalid El Mislam, quote, passed away recently, unquote. The Qatari reporter, quote, died suddenly while covering the FIFA World Cup Qatar 2022, the Gulf Times tweeted. "We believe," and this is their words, "we believe in Allah's mercy and forgiveness for him and send our deepest condolences to his family," unquote.
And here's another headline, Monday, December 6th, at Natural News by Ethan Huff. Millennial deaths up another 36% in August, says Ed Dowd. Equity investment executive Ed Dowd appeared on Steve Bannon's The War Room recently to discuss excess mortality in the post-operation warp speed age. One of the things he revealed is that deaths among 25 to 44-year-olds increased another 36% in August, and this is on top of an 84% increase during the final 4 months of 2021. Back in March, Dowd released a report highlighting steady increases in excess death rates ever since Wuhan coronavirus COVID-19 vaccines, quote, vaccines, were released on December 14, 2020, which just so happens to be smack dab in the middle of the two great American eclipses, the first having occurred on August 21, 2017, and the second still to come on April 8, 2024. Quote, "This is the biggest crime I've seen in the history of my career," Dowd told Bannon in the new interview. "And it's the greatest asymmetric information gap I've ever seen, meaning we on the War Room know it. You know it. Lots of people know it. Some of the lawmakers I talk to know it. But 90% of the globe has no idea what just happened to them. We're still seeing as if as of August of this year, 36% excess mortality. I'm seeing a society of actuary numbers. They don't publish them regularly. They only publish them annually. In 2022, the month of August, 36% excess mortality rate for millennials. So it's still going on, Steve. Related, 40% more people than usual are dying all around the world ever since Fauci flu shots were unleashed. Lou, how significant are those mathematical statistics?
Give us that percent again, Elizabeth.
That 40% more people than usual are dying all around the world since the COVID clot shots.
Well, as a simple matter of mathematics and statistics, it's clear that's not due to coincidence. There is nothing else you can attribute that to. It's got to be due to the shots.
Because normally you would never have an increase like that?
Never, ever.
Never.
No, never. Unless you had something like the bubonic plague or some terrible worldwide illness that was killing millions at a time.
You just wouldn't have a spike like that, would you?
Never, never.
The article goes on to ask, is the COVID injection aftermath criminal negligence or intended mass murder? What really shocks Dowd is the fact that almost nobody is talking about any of this. Politicians, even on the right, are silent. So are health institutions, pharmaceutical companies, and, of course, the corporate-controlled media, which can never be bothered to report anything true anymore, much less the whole truth. And I'm going to interject, Elizabeth Cupid-Gaverly. There we had Susan Estrich calling this a miracle, this genocide. Is a miracle. We should appreciate science. Now, going on with the article, quote, the lack of noise we're hearing on this, the crickets we're hearing from the health institutions and politicians and the drug makers, they know what we know. Dowd explained, I'm calling it a cover-up. I'm calling it criminal negligence at this point. And again, this is Elizabeth speaking. We hear a little bit of rumblings out of Senator Johnson's committee now and then, but we don't hear any real calls to put these people in shackles, these people who did this, and to arraign them. This might not happen. How long, Lou, was it that certain things could not be opened about the JFK investigation? And about a year or two ago, was it 75 years, and then they opened it, they allowed somebody to see something?
Yes, the original idea was that 75 years would go by. That was good, because you see, that would kill off anybody
who remembered it. But then they did it. Did they do it early, huh?
An act of Congress said they had to do it early, but it would still.
Well, it was
like about 40 years, maybe.
Yeah, right, whatever it was. It'll be 60 years coming up now, won't it?
Yes, next year will be 60 years.
Yeah. We hope we.
And there are still things that are not released,
no.
Or they're highly redacted.
And we hope we will hear from you around that time with some things that that you want to report on.
Yes.
So this is very clear that this concerted cover-up wants to continue on the things that have been going on in the dark shadow government to help depopulate all of us. You know, it's kind of ironic that we have that today person not being able to light the Rockefeller tree or be there when it was lit, when Rockefeller and associates are such big players in all of this going back a long, long time. So Al Roker doesn't know this, probably. You know, in his defense, he wrote a book. Now, we realize many of these famous personages have ghostwriters, including Billy Graham had one, I believe, who was homosexual. So at any rate, maybe somebody helped Al Roker write the book. But I had read part of it. It was interesting. It was about the Johnstown flood and how the robber barons, like Carnegie and all of them, with their indifference toward the common man, they played a role in what happened there in Johnstown with the flood. But, you know, we move back here to what this article from Natural News says, that we've just recapped that none of these big vested interests, big pharma or the corporate-controlled media, want to tell the truth, and that everybody really knows it's just a cover-up. Back to the article. Not everyone agrees with the soft approach that Dowd is taking, particularly as it pertains to his use of the term criminal negligence, which implies a lesser degree of foul play than what actually appears to have occurred. No, not criminal negligence, wrote a commenter in response to Dowd's interview. It is absolutely first-degree murder with attempted cover-up. You don't get criminal negligence with willful poisoning designed to specifically depopulate and go all out to silence people and keep them in the dark. Another mentioned billionaire eugenicist, Bill Gates, who has stated on numerous occasions that he would like to see mass depopulation of the planet. During an infamous TED talk he gave, Gates admitted that vaccines are part of the globalist mass genocide campaign. Quote, we need Nuremberg-style crimes against humanity hearings and the mass execution of those responsible for this genocide, this same commenter suggested. Who will prosecute them, though, since it is the government doing this to humanity? Ask another about how exactly this might work. Further, the PrEP Act gives them immunity. The death count will increase because most deaths are expected to occur 3 to 5 years post-shot. By the end of 2023, the flood will begin through the end of 2025. Now, this is me again, Elizabeth. This really shocked me. This was astounding that 3 to 5 years post-shot, we will have the deaths peaking in late 2025. I was looking at the obituaries again, and here again in Maryland in the newspaper, there was a young, maybe 20-something, 30-something person. There was a 50-something person died peacefully at home. Back to the article, the PrEP Act, by the way, was enacted under Donald Trump to protect the plandemic perpetrators from being held accountable for their crimes against humanity. If we are going to name names, Trump was all in and took credit for the vaccines many times throughout the scamdemic, said another. And we'll just add that we don't think anything has changed. We haven't heard any kind of a remorseful statement from Donald Trump about warp speed.
That's right. Next, we have this headline. COVID jab spike proteins cause lymphocytes to, quote, chew a hole in the aorta, unquote, warns Dr. Cole. This came from National News, written by Ethan Huff, December 12th, 2022. Appearing on Ask Dr. Drew the other day for an interview about Wuhan coronavirus, that is COVID-19 so-called vaccines, pathologist and virologist expert Dr. Ryan Cole, whose name you will probably recognize from our earlier jab coverage, revealed that the spike proteins in the injections cause prolific damage to the circulatory system. The two started out discussing where spike proteins tend to lodge throughout the body. In Cole's estimation, they go anywhere and everywhere they choose, including in the brain. It's in the brain tissue, Cole explained during the segment. Dr. Drew had a great question. Is it in the brain matter? Is it in the white matter? Where in the brain? Wherever the lipid nanoparticle distributes, and it does get through the blood-brain barrier, and we know S1, the spike protein, gets through as well. And I believe those were Dr. Cole's words. Cole went on to explain that COVID jab spike proteins, quote, follow the small capillaries and leak into whatever tissue they want to, unquote. Where the conversation really got interesting is where Cole showed slides depicting the inflammatory effects of spike proteins as they interact with lymphocytes. Cole said, quote, that spike protein causes the lymphocytes to chew a hole in the aorta. This is the biggest blood vessel in your body, coming off your heart. When that ruptures, you're gone in minutes. So that's just another example of what deposited spike protein and the induced inflammation can do, unquote. And a related article, last fall, Cole warned that cancer rates had spiked 20-fold among the fully jabbed. A subheadline, COVID jab spike proteins responsible for clotting disease. Hull, by the way, was among the first to explain the why behind the infamous clots that form following injection. The spike proteins cause what Cole described as, quote, clotting disease, unquote, or the formation of those mysterious non-blood clots that some embalmers say they are pulling out of corpses. One of the most concerning things about COVID jabs, in Cole's estimate, is the fact that their spike proteins are persistent. It takes the body a very long time to get rid of them, if it ever even does fully get rid of them. The general population was never warned about any of these risks, which means informed consent was never part of the equation. Had it been, how many people still would have agreed to get shot? Quote, the history of COVID is they forced a majority of the people and inflicted great societal and medical harm by using the control they had over the CDC and FDA to mandate plausible and profitable mRNA vaccinations. And that was from a tweet responding to the video above. Then they lied. This is also part of that same quote. Then they lied about the safety and effectiveness of the alternative early treatments in general, and ivermectin in particular. And they thought they could get away with it because they had control over more big governments, big tech corporations, and big media.
National File, Frankie Stocks, writing November 23rd, 2022, 5 million watch Stu Peters' new Died Suddenly film in first 24 hours, smashing left-wing censors. Died Suddenly blows the lid off of the genocidal depopulation agenda at the heart of the COVID jab scheme. 5 million viewers watched the Stu Peters Network's new Died Suddenly film within the first 24 hours following its release, and the momentum shows no sign of stopping, with viewership tallies continuing to climb and Internet users sharing the groundbreaking new film faster than big tech censors can take it down. Died Suddenly, the new film from the mega-viral Stu Peters Network, generated massive traffic in its first 24 hours online, raking in more than 3.1 million views on Rumble alone between its release on Monday evening and the same time on Tuesday. During the same time frame, over on Twitter, the official stream for Died Suddenly exceeded 1 million views, while even more were compiled across other platforms. Directed by award-winning documentarians Matthew Miller-Scow and Nicholas Stumphauser, with help from producers Stu Peters, Lauren Witzke, and Edward Zoll, Died Suddenly is blowing the lid off of the genocidal depopulation agenda at the heart of the COVID jab scheme. This film isn't me, nationally syndicated TV news host Stu Peters told National File. All glory to God and the award-winning filmmakers Matthew Scow and Nicholas Stumphauser, Peters went on. They're truly gifted. After its first 24 hours online, the Died Suddenly film went on to rake in over a million more Rumble through Tuesday night and into Wednesday morning. Still, the views are climbing. At the current count, more than 4.6 million viewers have watched the Stu Peters Network's Died Suddenly film on Rumble alone. Died Suddenly continues raking in massive amounts of views. Despite the best efforts of the big tech corporations to keep a lid on things, seemingly barring the film from its list of trending topics, Died Suddenly has received a whopping 1.2 million views on the Twitter platform. In addition to keeping Died Suddenly off of the trending charts, Twitter appears to have delisted the Died Suddenly account altogether. When the account is searched for by name, multiple other accounts appear, but not Died Suddenly, the account from which Twitter users can stream the full Stu Peters Network documentary film. Twitter isn't the only big tech corporation trying to halt the viewing of Died Suddenly, as the new film threatens to blow the lid off the narrative so carefully procured by corrupt global power brokers. On Facebook, users are being censored before they can even post links to the Died Suddenly film, with the social media platform telling them that their post has been declined, as if they swiped a bad credit card. Google has joined in on the campaign to stifle the film as well. Long notorious for manipulating search results in favor of left-wing interests, Google has visibly tried to push negative corporate media stories about the film to the top of its search engine results. The censorship effort has apparently been in vain, though, as millions of viewers continue watching Died Suddenly and spreading links to the film like wildfire online. And, Lou, we're going to have to let that be the last word about the effects of these censors. We must move on because we have such important information. Let's move past any more of the censoring. What is the next one that you have there?
I believe the next one is a continuation. You probably have the opening about...
The baby side jams with Dr. Cole?
No, let me see.
Dr. Cole.
Yes, I believe that's
all
probably
right.
It.
I think we'd better go right to that. This, again, is Natural News, Ethan Huff, December 12th. Dr. Cole receiving placentas from COVID-jabbed women that are inflamed, calcified. Now, listeners, you know what that means? Hard, turned into calcium, like calcium, like into rocks, and full of spike proteins. These are the placentas from COVID-jabbed women. Oncologists everywhere are reporting that cancers attacking reproductive organs are skyrocketing ever since the vaccines for COVID were unleashed via Operation Warp Speed. Dr. Ryan Cole, an Idaho-based frontline physician who is seeing it all firsthand, says oncologists and other colleagues in the medical field are observing unusually high rates of cancer. They are also seeing unusual cancers, including those of the vaginal tract and uterus, and especially leiomyosarcoma in particular. In addition to the extremely high rates of miscarriage and fetal mortality he has been seeing, Cole says that human fertility is clearly on the decline as the after effects of the jabs become increasingly more apparent. Related, last year Cole warned that cancer rates among the jabbed had increased 20-fold. Quote, people are sending me placentas, Cole told Dr. Drew Pinsky on his radio program. These placentas are the wrong size for their gestational age. These placentas are calcified. These placentas have antibodies in them. These placentas have spike proteins in them. These placentas have induced excess inflammation. Cole is urging his medical colleagues to do the pathology and look for unusual signs such as these in their patients. He issued a plea on the program for those in the medical field to, quote, start looking at tissues of the deceased, start looking at those fetuses that didn't make it to full term, start looking at the placentas. And we're going to have to shorten this again somewhat. Cole's observing of all this is shared by Dr. Ut Kruger, a Swedish physician who has similarly seen an explosion of cancer, oftentimes of rare varieties, among previously healthy young people who got injected for the Fauci flu. I'm looking here nearer the end by this. I think that gives you the main part of that part. And Lou, pick up that.
Well, I think at this point we go on to the essay having to do with the prions.
Yes, this is so important. And I guess I begin that, don't I?
Yes, I believe so.
This was really from July 12, 2022, from Epoch Times. Researchers suspect new variants of rapidly progressing brain-degenerating diseases from COVID-19 vaccines. Things have not been the same since June 2021 for 53-year-old Douglas Howey from Colorado. Around a year after he received the second dose of the Moderna COVID-19 vaccine, the 6'4" paraplegic man, who once weighed 262 pounds, lost over 100 pounds after the sudden onset of amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, ALS, an incurable and fatal disease that gradually kills a person's motor neurons. Though he never told his doctors that he started developing symptoms a month after the Moderna COVID-19 vaccine, his family thinks that his sudden sickness a month later and dramatic weight loss within weeks seemed like too much of a coincidence. This suspicion was further confirmed after Linda Howey, Douglas's mother, heard a podcast by Dell Bigtree where Stephanie, that's Dr. Stephanie Seneff, a senior researcher from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, at the Computer Science and Artificial Intelligence Laboratory, talked about her research on possible links between neurodegenerative diseases and the COVID-19 mRNA vaccines. Once patients are diagnosed with ALS, they are normally given a life expectancy of 2 to 5 years. The disease mostly affects men, and age of onset is most often between the ages of 55 to 75. Douglas is younger than this, and his illness has progressed much faster than most. He has already entered the late stage of the disease and is experiencing breathing difficulties, although he has only been sick for 1 year. Linda recalled that Douglas's fever began in June, around a month after he received his second Moderna COVID-19 vaccine dose on May 21, 2021. He experienced high fever and was bedridden for a month.
Douglas's father passed away in 2011 after a 25-year battle with a brain degenerative disease called frontotemporal dementia, or FTD, that has a genetic component. Within the last week or so of life, Douglas's father began to experience ALS symptoms. Though Douglas also had the FTD gene, he was not expecting any significant progression for the next 20 years. However, after Douglas recovered from his month-long fever, he began to notice constant fatigue and weakness in his grip strength. Within 6 weeks of falling ill, he lost 40 pounds, and his weight only continued to decline as his appetite deteriorated. 5 months later, Douglas was too weak to handle silverware properly and needed to feed himself with both hands. Douglas has been a paraplegic since he was hit by a truck in 2012. As a result of that accident, he developed strong upper arms that he used to hoist himself up from bed and to propel himself around in a manual wheelchair. His ALS disease quickly spread to the motor neurons in his arms, so that by January 2022, just 7 months after he fell sick, Douglas required a bed hoister and an automatic wheelchair, which he now has much difficulty using. Gone are Douglas's days of gardening, traveling, working full-time, and acting as an active advocate for people with disabilities. Caregivers that used to help around the house for only a few hours are now there around the clock every day taking care of him. Douglas has also gradually developed a cough and has trouble speaking. A test in February 2022 showed that he had lost much of his functional lung capacity and was only using 40% of his diaphragm. The once eloquent and talkative physics instructor was reduced to spelling out his words to enable basic communication. The destruction of his motor neurons has caused him pain and crippled his sleep, but he has not been able to verbalize it. Caregivers may jam his toe in the bed hoister, or bruise his back on the machinery, yet he could only text his mother, Linda, who would later tell the caregivers that he was in pain. Quote, "His lack of ability to talk has caused a lot of pain and suffering. When he texts me the details later, I communicate to the caregiver that the pain is there and how much pain he was enduring when he could not speak at the time the pain or injury was happening. By then, the damage has happened," Linda told the Epoch Times through an email. "Mundane things that he once did without much thought now need much effort to instruct caregivers to do, such as wiping his eyes or adjusting his glasses and moving his cap." Linda said that she had searched up the batch numbers of his Moderna injections on the website How Bad Is My Batch? That has gathered data from the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, or VAERS. Each search will show the reported adverse events, deaths, and disabilities associated with the batches that have been reported to VAERS. Douglas's batch numbers were 001C21A and 25C21A, respectively associated with 779 and 523 reported adverse events, 8 and 5 deaths, and 10 and 8 disabilities, respectively. However, these numbers were far from the number of reported cases from the batches highest on the list. According to Pfizer, each batch can consist of 1 to 3 million vaccine doses, though it is not certain if Moderna is the same. Dr. Stephanie Seneff and many others have been suspicious of the actual safety and efficacy of the COVID-19 vaccines from the moment they started to be administered to the population. Research into this novel technology made her very concerned that the vaccine could cause incurable prion diseases and prion-like diseases within the population in 5 to 10 years or even further down the line. Quote, to have almost 100% success rate with a few months of testing, it just seems completely reckless to me, she said on the call with the Epoch Times. In 2021, months after the rollout of the mRNA Pfizer and Moderna COVID-19 vaccines, Seneff published a peer-reviewed paper with Dr. Greg Nye. In the study, she and Nye declared that a vaccine that produced the spike protein of the SARS-CoV-2 virus could be a health concern, as the spike protein has a prion region that is able to interact with proteins on the human cells.
Prions are common proteins that naturally exist in the human brain. However, in the case of prion diseases, the prion will come into contact with a misfolded, pathogenic prion, and just like a set of dominoes, the single contact will cause all other normal prions to become pathogenic, slowly killing the individual. Awful as it sounds, it generally is a slow kill, often taking decades after the first exposure for symptoms to appear. Examples of prion diseases include Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, CJD, an incurable and fatal disease. Recent studies also show neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and ALS have prion-like features with protein misfolding and clumping in the brain, which kills neurons. Some studies also suggest these diseases may also be prion disease, though this has not been proven. Seneff and her colleagues expressed concern that an mRNA or DNA adenovirus AstraZeneca vaccine may serve as a trigger to cause prion or prion-like diseases, and that we may see a spike in such diseases in the coming years. In their rigorously peer-reviewed study, Seneff and her colleagues speculated that the vaccine may cause prion misfolding, causing damage to the brain in the forms of CJD, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, ALS, and so on. The mRNA and DNA vaccines carry instructions for making the spike protein go into cells. Once cells receive these instructions, they start making spike protein. Cells then stick these spike proteins on their cellular surface, and when immune cells recognize the proteins as foreign, an immune response is triggered. However, mistakes can occur during the process of translating RNA or DNA into protein. Seneff speculated that errors could also happen for the spike protein, causing misfolding. If misfolding also happens in a prion region, it may be able to interact with human prions and trigger prion disease, such as CJD or prion-like disease. However, compared to the current CJD, Parkinson's, and the other neurodegenerative diseases, Seneff said that disease, if caused by the vaccine, would most likely progress faster. Since the vaccine hijacks cellular processes to make more foreign proteins than in a natural infection, there would be greater opportunities for misfolding. And we have to interject here, Lou, that it was clear that the progress of this younger man's disease, the ALS, even though he had a genetic component from his father, it went astoundingly quicker than at the age of his father, many decades older. So these are great concerns, and we will have to get into the rest of this about the prions next week before we move into some of the moral degeneracy that we see in these December demons. But Lou and I want to thank you again, listeners, for helping us keep the Divided Kingdom on the air. And we have paid many of our credit card debts. We think we have about $16,000 yet not paid, because we really have to keep money to pay taxes on them. But that's a lot better than over $64,000 that we owed. So we also have the loans that we've mentioned before, home equity, mortgage, and about five other loans. Some of them are going to mature and be done in the next year, two or three of them. And that will make it a lot better for us. But we deeply appreciate your help. And if you can continue to help us, we're in pretty good shape right now, heading toward January to stay on the air. But the next thing we will need more would be Global Star Communications, if you would like to make out a check to it. Or, again, for the future work at WWCR, we don't want you cheating your family. It's Christmas time, and we know that you want to take good care of your families. So whatever you can send us without hurting yourselves, we really appreciate the books of stamps. We appreciate all of you, and we ask you to continue to pray for that Pennsylvania doctor. We do not know his name. We cannot reach him directly, but we do hope that he is hearing some of the things that we're advising you about, and this important program might save your life. It might have even helped yours truly when we talked about the odious things in Beyond Meat. We talked about the pea protein, and I realized about 2 years ago we had bought a gluten-free pasta, and it was using green pea flour. And I think now it's highly suspect, because every time we ate this, I seemed to feel worse, and the gout seemed to be coming back. Everything seemed to fall into place, and it looked on the box like it's plant-based, and it looked like a Bill Gates commercial practically. So you see, we hope we're here to provide you the news that you won't hear anywhere else, and that we can once in a while give you some health tips or some prep tips that are good for you in the years to come. Most of all, we want to exhort you to keep your faith in Jesus Christ and to pray for Lou and me for our protection and our provision. And if you would like to help with anything that you can do, a little cash in an envelope, a money order anonymously, send it to Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Again, that's P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And we would like to especially thank Robert and ask you to continue to pray for him in his bereavement, that God will especially bless him for his emergency help that saved our program. Good night.